I'm Rashog. Join the Shogger. You ever had anything stolen of significance?
Yeah, when I was in high school, my brother and I came home from school, and we like came inside, and we went and like made ourselves food and sat down on the couch, and we're like, where's the TV? That's weird. And we were like, all right, whatever. So we went downstairs, and then so we watched TV downstairs, and then we came back up, and we were like, noticed a couple other things missing, and we're like, that's weird. Anyway, so then we like, I don't know, went and played basketball outside or something, and then mom came home and went inside, and then she's like, what is going on? Like, we've been robbed. And Mike and I are like, what? And she's like, what have you got? We've been robbed. And so we go back in the house, and we look around, and we're like, oh, yeah, there's actually a lot of stuff that's not here right now that normally would be. So we were totally oblivious. Came in, made food, noted there was no TV, so we went somewhere where there was, like, just totally oblivious to the fact. So we lost a reasonable amount of stuff, but, yeah, not exactly inspectors, my brother and I.
Looking at the second day of free agency, that's classic guy stuff. Oh, there's a TV missing, but we're not going to worry about it. And then go play basketball, classics. You've had a day now to look at everything that Ken Hall and them did. We saw late the return that it required to get Darcy Kemper. Obviously explains why Edmonton wasn't in on Darcy Kemper. I don't think they were trading a first and Samorikov plus something else, because you got to remember that Colorado only took on $3.5 million of Kemper. And if you were sending Koskinen back, you probably were going to have to give up even more to make that deal happen. So do you see, like, we know that Georgiev wants a trade out of New York, but I'm not even sure how you make that work. Like, do you see a trade, or I think they just stand pat, and during the season is when you might see a goalie trade. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, Ken Holland was pretty honest about this yesterday when I asked him about it. Like, and he basically said, like, if we're going to get a new goalie, we need to trade one of our goalies. Like, one of them has to go. So, what do you think the cost is for moving Mikko Koskinen? Like, he's $4.5 million and is a middle-of-the-way backup. So, I mean, trying to convince teams to take that contract, you have to incentivize them with something significant. If somebody was willing to take this deal, he'd be gone. He'd have been gone a long time ago if someone were willing to take that deal. I think it's a pretty strong indication that with all the mayhem happening in the goaltending world, Koskinen is somewhat of an immovable object. So otherwise, he'd be gone. So, yeah, the price for trying to get a team to take on $4.5 million or even half of that, or I mean, it's high, high, high picks, and the Oilers, I just don't think, have interest in mortgaging a high pick for a contract that's bad for one more year. So I think there's a reason it hasn't happened, and I think there's a reason it's probably not going to happen. And I think, yeah, they'll have to stand pat and just go with what they got. I mean, they were around it, like they looked into it, but imagine what the price would have been to say, oh, here you go, you get Mikko Koskinen too. Like, now you're dealing in big assets. So they just weren't willing to do it, and I don't know that they should have been either, because when all is said and done, guys, I'll ask you, how much was goaltending a problem for the Oilers during the regular season last year? If you were to list their top three or four problems, is it on that list?
Well, listen, I was adamant that they couldn't come back the same two skaters, or same two goalies.
Yeah.
Shogger, I was adamant, and my tune has changed in, let's say, the last week.
And is that based on prices, Strutty, just because you realized what it would have taken them to have moved on?
Yeah, I think that the Oilers are already looking at, they're missing two draft picks next year already. So if you start firing other draft picks out to get rid of that contract and bring someone else in, like, is this their year? And I can't believe I'm going to say this before the season even started, but I think that this is the year they're going to stay and hopefully move up a little bit in the standings. But they're looking for big eternal growth. Ken Holland said it. You know, they're looking at the guys like Puljujarvi, like Yamamoto, like McLeod, like Bouchard. These guys taking a step forward. and becoming, you know, even Warren Fogle. You know, Warren Fogle, some people think he's a second-line left-winger. He's going to be a third-line left-winger. Dylan Holloway. Like, all these guys come in and push, and that's how they're going to get better now. Because they've spent their money on the free agents, right? They've done that. So these guys have to come in and push. And then maybe next summer is the one when you figure out your solution with the goalie. Because you can't, you know, Greg, you've said it before, you can't just keep adding buyout money or trading picks to get rid of contracts you don't want anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's 1 year left on this deal. They got to just figure out a way to live with it. If they can trade it and eat some money and the what they have to give up, like if it's later in the season, you know, if they got to clear some space or if they got to, I mean, if it's in season and you have to do it and it's because you know where you're at in the playoffs and you have an opportunity to upgrade, I'm not saying the Oilers will hit the playoffs with the same two in net. We'll see what kind of year Koskinen's had, but if they don't address it this summer, it's not ideal. It's not ideal to return the same two, but like I said, I can understand how they're justifying it in their war room, right? They're sitting there going over it and saying, well, okay, but it's going to cost this to move on. Or we just, you know, was it really that big an issue? And, Gregor, you talked a lot about kind of some of the frustrations in Koskinen's game, right? How often he lets a first shot in and what that does to the team. Some of those bad habits that he has in his game. And I think if he can make some tweaks and if he can work on that and get rid of some of that and just be a decent backup that's just reliable to give Mike Smith his opportunity to have some rest, I think they still have goaltending that gets them to the playoffs. Now, if they want to upgrade before playoffs because they feel like, oh, the rest of, you know, let's say the D worked out great. Let's say Duncan Keith played great. Let's say Tyson Barrie had another similar year and everybody took a step forward and, okay, it all worked great. Well, now maybe you do need to go out and spend the asset and get the goalie. But I can understand why they're sitting there right now looking at the prices and going, is that big an issue? You know, and I'm not sure. What do you think of Mike Smith? Like, is he going to be the same as he was last year? Is he going to regress a little bit? Was last year a total one-off? There's a lot riding. There is a lot riding on the play of Duncan Keith in his late 30s and Mike Smith. There's a lot riding on this team on the play of those two older guys.
Yeah, I think the one thing that Mikko Koskinen, it's clear he can't be your everyday guy. That's obvious, right? He plays better, and he from February 6th until except that game in Montreal, up until then he actually was pretty good, right? And then he had that stretch of two games where you're just like, oof, you know, let in some head scratcher goals. And so Koskinen, he can't be the main guy. He has to find that confidence to just know, okay, you know what? Because Mike Smith, to me, he can't start more than 50 games if you want Mike Smith to be good in the playoffs, right? Because I think it's a twofold thing here from Smith. So you need 32 starts from Koskinen. And, you know, they're not all going to be great. He's a backup. I don't expect them all to be great. But my goodness, he can't have, like what he had last year, 7 or 8 games with the first shot going in. Like, you can't have 25% of your games, 30%, having your team down 1-0 early. Now, I know there was one or two that weren't his fault and they're 8 minutes in. Okay. But still, it happened way too often. So I think Mike Smith's going to regress only because 923 is real. Not many guys go back-to-back years 923. It's really hard to do. So Mike Smith, if he could be 915, that's middle of the pack. So that's actually good value for what his contract is. So if Mike Smith's 915, then Koskinen's got to be 910. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and we'll see. If there's a chance for him to upgrade in season, maybe they'll look at it then. But based on all the information they have right now, I think it's just too expensive to do it. So that's going to be one on the to-do list that probably doesn't get checked off. And, you know, the other things on the to-do list, for the most part, they got done. You can debate how well they got them done, some of them better than others, but they got most of what's on their list done. They still need to find a D-man, but, you know, I think they're in the process of trying to do that.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, breaking down the Edmonton Oilers and all things NHL. He's from TSN. Shogger, you know, I think that this forward group is deep. Like, you know, as deep as we've seen, at least. There are players in real spots that should be able to contribute in the lineup, you know, like Fogle and Hyman and Derek Ryan and things like that. But there's also a wild card called Dylan Holloway, who, you know, no one has him in the lineup now, but who knows where that guy could be by the end of the season. And that could change the mix again. So, you know, there's maybe you hope a sidestep on the back end I hope that that's what it becomes. But I think that forward group, they should be playing in the other zone way more and just way more forechecking. And that takes so much pressure off the D. Is that, do you see it that way as well, or am I overvaluing what they did up front?
No, I don't think you are at all. I mean, look at what their options were in that second left wing spot all last year. It was like, who can carry the ball for at least two games without dropping it? It was just, they're just handing it one guy. He would, a couple of games, dropped it. Cahoon, Ennis, carry it for a couple of games, dropped it. There was just absolutely nobody who was reliable for any stretch of time there in those spots. Well, they got a guy that is going to be Mr. Reliable. I mean, the thing they say about Zach Hyman is he plays the exact same game every night. You know, like, he's just not a guy that has a ton of bad nights. He brings what he brings. So upgrade there. Upgrade in the third line left wing spot for sure. I think he's going to be a good, valuable acquisition. Everything I've heard and read and talked to a few people, you know, he plays the game in a way that I think this team needs that. So that's better. Derek Ryan, he can be a little bit more of a specialist in some of the areas where the Oilers, they didn't have that guy, right? So where Jajar Kara was taking certain defensive zone face-offs and certain, well, now you got a guy who can get in there and kind of specialize in that. That gives some breathing space for Ryan McLeod to be what Ryan McLeod needs to be right now, which is a fourth-line player who's still learning the NHL game. Their bottom six is better. They're more rounded out. I would love to see Cassian put some pressure on Yamamoto to play on the top two lines. We'll see if he can. I think Yamamoto needs to be pushed a little bit there. I think Puljujarvi showed last year he belongs. I'm not sure Yamamoto's a top six player right now. He might be a third-line player still. And it's okay if he is, but ideally you would have somebody putting some pressure on him to hold that spot in the top six.
Well, I think Zach Hyman's a right shot. Right?
Yep.
You got Warren Fogle. So I think you're right, Schauger. I said it earlier. The top six wingers, because Cahoon played there majority of the time. Ennis got a few shifts here and there. But those top six wingers, well, it doesn't matter how much we suck because no one was pushing them. There's going to be more competition for some top six ice time this year, and I think that's a competition usually brings out the best in other players. So I think that's going to be a good thing, Ryan Rashog.
Yeah, I think what you can say when you look at the group is they probably have nine guys who are top nine forwards. Like, you know, you go through the lines, the first six we know are. I think Fogle's a top nine forward. I think Derek Ryan is a third line forward, I think, when he's playing well. And Cassian, I think a lot of times can be a third line forward too. So I think they have enough guys to fill out their top nine where you go, yeah. No, there's nobody who on, you know, should be a healthy scratch who's playing in their top nine, which they had regularly last year.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That is totally fair. Schauger, they were looking for another left defenseman, and I know that they wanted Kulikov, but he signed a two-year deal. They weren't going to offer 2 years, and even the money's probably a little bit high. Ryan Murray's still out there. They'd love to get him. I'm not sure how realistic it is, but after that, there's not a lot. Like, they might just bring back Slater Cuckoo because you know exactly what you got from Slater Cuckoo.
Yeah, I think they liked Cuckoo. I think the coach liked him. They gave him some good minutes at different times through the year. You know, he needs to stay healthy. Taller guy, you know, rangy. I think they like that. Yeah, Ryan Murray would be ideal for this team. Like, ideal. But, you know, I don't think they will spend the money that it would take to get Ryan Murray here. I'm not sure if they can or not, but someone's given Ryan Murray upwards of $3 million. Somebody's going to $2.5-3 million, I would guess. I think he would be ideal for them. I don't think I'd be surprised if they were able to make that happen. I see Brendan Smith just signed. Jordy Benn's still out there. Slater Cuckoo, to your point. So there's some guys that are depth guys. And then you got Chris Russell sitting there who, you know, like, if I'm a depth left shot defenseman and I'm thinking about coming to Edmonton, I'm looking at the depth chart going, okay, they got Chris Russell sitting there. And you know the coach really likes Chris Russell. There's a real loyalty there, and Russell plays the game in a way that he really respects. So if you're signing at Edmonton as a depth guy, I think they're going to end up with a legitimate depth player and not a guy who, oh, boy, he could almost be a second-pairing guy. I don't think that's going to happen because anybody would look at that depth chart and wonder where Chris Russell fits in, and knowing that the coach likes to play Chris Russell. So you'll be either on par with him or behind him, but your chances of being an every-night guy on the left side in the third pairing – are not great because Russell's going to get his minutes.
Shagar, have yourself a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good night, guys.